Our first reading this morning is from an 1810 essay titled A Vision of the Last Judgment by William Blake, the English poet and artist. The passage mentions a guinea, which is a word some may know and some may not. A guinea is a gold coin that was minted in Britain until shortly after this essay was published. What, it will be questioned, when the sun rises, do you not see a round disk of fire, something like a guinea? Picture this as a gold coin. Oh, no, no. I see an innumerable company of the heavenly host crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I question not my corporeal eye any more than I would question a window concerning sight. I look through it and not with it. The second reading today is a reflection titled The Unexpected Stairway by UU Minister Barbara Rode from her collection In the Simple Morning Light.
My husband and I had been at a small hotel in Bergen for 2 days before we discovered the stairway. We had known it was there, of course. We had seen the sign, if not the thing itself, but we used the elevator. Save time, we thought, and the energy we needed for exploring that charming Norwegian town on misty October days. After breakfast on the third day, when the elevator seemed slow in arriving, my husband decided to walk up. He was waiting at the elevator door when I and the elevator arrived on the fourth floor. Let me show you something, he said, and led me back down the stairs he had just come up. I was dazzled. Instead of the sterile, institutional look of most hotel stairways, this one had the warm beauty of an art lover's home. There were bright paintings on all the walls, and at each landing a rug in jeweled tones, a table with fresh flowers, an exquisite chair or two, and when we reached the first floor, we walked up again, filled with energy, drinking in the beauty. We might have missed this, I said. Have to be careful about saving time and losing life, he said.
Thank you, Nathan. While it didn't look like it to me on Tuesday, at this point I'm ready to tip my hat to Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog seer of seers, prognosticator of prognosticators, who forecast 6 more weeks of winter earlier this week. I should have given the little guy his due. As soon as I no longer had to drive anywhere else on Friday, I went for a walk, and I wasn't the only one. For those of us with any love for winter, these were the moments we long for, walking the streets of our neighborhoods under the silent snow, still falling. Such a heavy snow was a terror for cars and roads, and perfect for snowmen. Winter majesty carried a grace equal to an early warm spring breeze. UU singer-songwriter Peter Mayer has a song perfect for times like that. It's from his 1999 album, Million Year Mind. Here are some of the lyrics to his song, Holy Now. When I was in Sunday school, we would learn about the time Moses split the sea in two and Jesus made the water wine. And I remember feeling sad that miracles don't happen still, but now I can't keep track, because everything's a miracle. Wine from water is not so small, but an even better magic trick, he continues, is that anything is here at all. So the challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, but finding where there isn't one. When the holy water was rare at best, it barely wet my fingertips. But now I have to hold my breath like I'm swimming in a sea of it. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second-rate hand-me-down, but I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now. Can you hear the echo of William Blake? The Lord of hosts assembled in the star our sun. Mayer's song continues. Read a questioning child's face and say it's not a testament. That'd be very hard to say. See another new morning come and say it's not a sacrament. I tell you, it can't be done. This morning I stood and saw a little red-winged bird shining like a burning bush, singing like a scripture verse. It made me want to bow my head. I remember when church let out, how things have changed since then. Everything is holy now. It used to be a world half there, heaven's second-rate hand-me-down, but I walk it with a reverent air, 'cause everything is holy now. Everything is holy now? Everything? From the fleeting, what if the Saints don't win the Super Bowl later today? To the truly important, good people are doing everything they can to hold on to their homes. People are dying senselessly in our streets. There is mass poverty, and the wars continue on. All that is true, all of it. And still, when the snow falls, both so thick and heavy, and still so silently, we quiet it down and walk slowly down our streets and in our parks. One of the most powerful photographs I have ever seen was from a war photographer, and I have to admit I don't remember whom at this point. It was taken from above, looking down at the face and hand, curled hand, of a dead soldier covered with dirt. The photograph had a dark, almost twilight purple hue to it. And then there, a little ways from the hand, there rose the beginnings of a yellow wildflower. The image was both perfect and too much. If it had been made more recently, I would have suspected or insisted, perhaps, that it was something put together on a computer. It was too pat, too perfect. And yet still, it captured our attention and held it. Even amid destruction and violent death, there can be life, and there can somehow be beauty. Mayer sings that he walks now with reverence because everything is holy. Or is it the other way around? That he finds holiness because he looks so reverently for it? Certainly the two reinforce one another. I've wondered long how this system really works. And if I get it figured out before I die, I will be greatly satisfied. I don't presume to have any final answers for you today. Still, there are a few more reflections I'd like to share with you. While they are a far cry from the poetry and work of William Blake, I have to admit to you I have a soft spot in my heart for the movies that Pixar makes. One of my favorites is The Incredibles. Who's seen it? All right. Wow, you are an educated bunch. How can I not love a movie that begins with a superhero saying, "No matter how many times you save the world, it always manages to get back in jeopardy again. Sometimes I just want it to stay saved, you know, for a little bit. I feel like the maid. I just cleaned up this mess. Can we keep it clean for 10 minutes? Please?" Ministries, nothing like that. That's the hook that got me right from the get-go. A bit later, another question is raised. It's not only about the animation and the effects. Dash, the precocious young boy in the family of, at that point, closeted superheroes, is feeling more than a little frustrated. He can't do what he does best, namely to run with lightning speed and show everyone at school just what he's made of. "Our powers make us special," he tells his mother. "Everyone's special, Dash," she replies. He turns away, pouting, which is another way of saying no one is. Does that sound familiar to any parents out there? The pouting child who wants to be seen as more special than they fear they are. Only we who uphold the worth and dignity of everyone would have to disagree. Dash's mother is right. Everyone is special. After 9 years of living in Minnesota, St. Paul primarily, I went to seminary in Berkeley, and I wanted my share of California experiences. So at the height of my first spring there, I went with some friends to a place tucked away in the hill country of Northern California, to an area that is geothermically active, not enough for power generation, though they've tried, and Obama has tried again, but enough for a fine and funky hot spring. You may guess where this is going. It was impossible to notice that folks were walking around and not wearing many clothes at all. I couldn't help but look around a little bit. And there she was, Miss California, looking everything like Aphrodite rising from the warm pool. For that moment, my sensitive new age guy, politically correct, "I do not objectify women nature," went out the window. This was what I had left Minnesota for. And then the unimaginable happened. No, she didn't come up and say hello. She sneezed. It was not a polite sneeze. It was a full sneeze. It was a wet sneeze. It was an, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed sneeze. And suddenly, this blonde vision became human right in front of my eyes. She was still beautiful, but on a human scale. And then I noticed something unexpected. Everyone else was beautiful too. Short people, tall people, thin people, stout and rotund people, tanned people, pale people like myself. It didn't matter. Everyone was beautiful, each in her or his own way, and still beautiful. The differences didn't matter. Everyone is beautiful, and not only when we smile. Chet Ramo has written a fabulous book titled, When God is Gone, Everything is Holy. Mark has quoted from it. Educated as an astronomer, Ramo describes the transition of his faith from a fervent Catholic in the traditional sense to an agnostic natural religionist who still calls himself very much a Catholic. He writes, "The point of religion, I now believe, is to celebrate the unfathomable mystery of creation. Faith no longer matters to me so much as attention, wonder, celebration, praise. We could add curiosity to that mix. What unites us in this faith tradition is not a set of beliefs, but an approach to life, one that is open to seeing, when we look up at the sun, something that might look a bit like a gold coin, especially when gold is wanting, or a star which makes our lives possible, and also the bright shining majesty, indescribably complex and compelling nature of creation. We make room for all of these, and in our finer moments, remember to make room for the new discoveries that will surely come in time." Yet Ramo does not rest there. Our faith, he writes, must be judged ultimately not by pope, bishop, priests, or councils, not by holy books or ancient traditions, but by the greater happiness of humankind. Returning to young Dash, who wants so much to stand out among his peers, who fears that if everyone is special, no one will notice him, we have to admit that he's not alone in feeling those things. So many people so often think that one's gain means another's loss. This is why so many of us are so nervous about the old-fashioned notion called the common good. We don't trust it because we think, more than we might care to admit, that if anyone else gains, we somehow lose. The ways in which the world does work that way are much more limited, though, than we may realize. Let us remember, when the shoveling is done, to walk under the still, gently falling snow, to say hello to our neighbors, to say hello to strangers alike, and ask how they're doing. Let us remember every now and then that there may be good reason to take the stairs instead of the elevator, if only just once. May we look with wonder and see beauty. May we look with curiosity and find majesty. When we look with anxiety, we are more likely to find reasons to fear. When we look with hope, we might just find a new friend. Thank you. Thank you.